Hey, welcome to the Ordinary Radical Podcast. We're glad, hosted by Jonathan and Brandon Boltner. We got some good stuff. Sit in, check it out.
Oh, it is good. It's good to see you. I haven't seen you in like a long time. Not in person.
Long time. Yeah. I think
it was like, was Lincoln in office? Maybe? I'm not sure.
Oh, wow. That's like way back.
Oh, okay. I'm older than you are. I forget that. But hey, we got a good podcast and a good conversation. I'm going to start it off like this. So I don't know if you know this. This year I turned 40. And that's a big mile marker.
That is a big number. Goodness.
And as you get to be an old man like I am, you realize what God has been doing in your life and how he's maneuvered you. And so I think about this and I want to ask you this question. If 10-year-old Brandon walked into 40-year-old Brandon's life, how surprised would my child self be? Because I think I would be incredibly surprised. There is no way I ever knew or thought I would end up where I am, where I live, what I'm doing, who I'm married to, what my family looks like, nothing. And yet I can sit back and go, wow, God was in every step of that way. And I'm so thankful that I trusted him.
Mm.
What about you? Your child self meets your present self. How surprised would your child self be?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure shocked. I mean, I didn't come to saving faith till 16. And there are dreams and ambition that I had back then. And I thought I would live in certain ways. But you know, God's kindness and God's grace carry me on to this day. I mean, even just looking at the last several years, I never thought where I would be. But I don't want to be anywhere that where God's will and his hand's not there. So to answer your question, I think he'll be shocked.
So you said that even the last several years, so like how old are you?
I'm 34 right now.
34. So your 24-year-old self talking to your 34-year-old self would also be surprised. Mm-hmm. Maybe even your 30-year-old self would also be surprised. Isn't that crazy? And so as we jump into this podcast today, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about those twists and turns, trusting God and all the ins and outs of expectation and you know, because you do. We all have expectations. Did you have expectations going into ministry? Like, what did you think ministry was going to look like for you as a young, you know, vibrant pastor?
Yeah. Goodness, it goes back. I mean, goodness, about 15 years ago, back in Bible college. But I thought I would be the next John Piper, right?
Okay.
Just that people will love me because my mom loves me and my grandma thinks I'm great, and realizing, wow, how that was wrong. I don't know about you. What you expect as a young pastor?
So I went to seminary expecting to become a Christian counselor.
Mm.
You know, I did not want to be a pastor. I did not have any desire to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. In fact, I didn't like the way that people treated the pastors in the local church. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I'll submit to you, God. I'll be a Christian counselor and I'll work with soul care and people's hearts. And by the way, that's a huge need. Mm-hmm. But God he moved me away from that. He changed my trajectory like I would have never, ever expected. And so if you don't know, we're talking about going from me expecting to be a Christian counselor to now I'm doing a church revitalization. I'm the lead pastor of a church revitalization with a few people on my staff and living not in the state that I expected to, living not in a city that I expected to, you know, and yet I'm so, so thankful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so, so thankful. But we do have expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with that. You're listening right now and you're like, you have an expectation. You go into every pastoral role or ministry project with an expectation. What about when those expectations start not mounting to what you expected them to? Because I don't know about you, but the movement of my heart is to go, woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, totally ignoring, what if God's doing something bigger that I'm blind to? You know, and so what about you? You know, just that woe is me. Do you ever experience that in ministry? Have you experienced that in ministry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I even look back, goodness, 14 years now in vocational ministry and where I'm at today, and there were mountaintop experience and there were really, really low valley moments. And those moments were very dark and very questioning. I would say probably season of depression that I went through, but God used it for good. Even though at the moment I couldn't see that, I couldn't even feel it, but God carried me on. Great is your faithfulness, Lord God, unto me. Lamentation 3:23, I believe it says that. So yeah, absolutely. There are moments like, woe is me. Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah, and I think that as I process what you're saying, I think that, you know, you said you wanted to be the next John Piper. We have sort of a spiritual, let's just say arrogance. We have like an arrogance, even as pastors and ministers, where we think that for some reason, and maybe you're way more humble than I am, but I feel like a lot of us think that for some reason, we're going to be the Messiah in whatever situation God places us in. Mm-hmm. When I've come to learn that God has changed my life in such a way to show me I am not the Messiah. There is only one Messiah. And he came not to lead necessarily, but to serve, the scriptures say, right? And he lives in his example for us of service and what service looks. So God had to take me through some paths to allow me to learn a servant's heart, to learn that I serve Jesus and I serve the Lord our God. And that takes some submission. You know, so Jonathan, what do you say to the person who's listening right now, and they've got, you know, a spiritual call out of left field, and it's, you know, it's clear that God is in it, but they don't want to do it. You know, what do you say to that person? What advice do you give them?
Yeah, it's hard because there are times truth is truth and we can seek it. I mean, we can read scripture. I mean, Proverbs says a man plans his own way, but God directs it.
That's good.
As well. So as I look back as well, I'm thankful for people who are gracious to me and walk alongside of me, but yet spoke truth and love. So I want to do the same for folks who are struggling with that. But I do want the boldness and courage to speak truth. And I remember having conversation. This person was very miserable, but wanting to preach and lead the ministry, and I said, maybe God's calling you into that, and maybe you need to faithfully, I don't know where the money is going to come from. Well, God's going to provide. I've seen that in my own life, as I was just sharing with you earlier about in our adoption journey, which was a huge faith journey,
right?
That God opened my eyes and God moved in mighty ways. And sometimes I think because of that, like, younger people don't see that. I think the more seasoned we grow in our faith, we know that. I remember that day, like almost the Israelites putting the 12 stones together and say, let us remember this day, what the Lord has done. And so I would, you know, graciously, lovingly, but also convictionally, courageously, I would share scripture as I listen and reflect, and which is really the work of a counselor.
Yeah.
If you would,
yeah.
Pastoral soul care that we do. Yeah.
So you're saying that we should look for different spiritual markers to see that God is at work. Mm-hmm. But one of those is certainly listening to the counsel of others, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever I was moving towards planting a church, I've shared this before, but there was three different people who came into my life and said, you're gonna be planting a church. Mm. And that was, one of them was my wife. You know, and so if she says something, I really should be listening. And she's not the type to uproot us and change our path in life. She's very much, she likes the same thing, always the same way. And here are these counselors, and then pastors around me also saying, Brandon, I'm seeing this in you, or have you thought about this? And so it could come like that. It could also come, you know, in a pastor calling out a blind spot in your life. You know, I remember I felt God was moving me towards a multi-ethnic church model. And I went and I met with this one pastor, and he happens to be over an association. And he said, I got a church right now lined up for you that's multi-ethnic. if you want to take it. And it hit me like, I am not ready. That was a blind spot. It was because I felt like I was ready. I felt like I should be moving in this direction. But the blind spot that came apparent was my lack of leadership ability in the moment, my lack of being worth following, and my lack of knowledge. And whenever he said that, he showed me a blind spot, maybe purposefully, so that I could go work on myself before returning to multi-ethnic ministry, which is kind of what I do now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a scripture says there's wisdom in the counsel of many.
Many, yeah.
And I'm thankful I lean on brothers in Christ. I lean on other folks who are seasoned in the ministry to say, am I seeing this right? And also, these are people who know me.
Mm-hmm.
There's relational equity there. And that's important. I sense that in my role now as a church planter, which many times I remember thinking, oh, that would be great, but
yeah.
I don't know how financially it's going to be. Financially, is it even wise to do? And there was a second time felt like, yes, church planting is great, but I had two children at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it doesn't really make sense. But at this round, I just sense almost like Abraham. Sometimes it's illogical. Abraham says, God, I'm leading you to a new place. Well, God, could you tell me where?
Right.
I would tell you when you get there.
Mm.
And those are scary moments. And that for me, what leadership, the longer I'm in it, I sense leadership is a lesson of fear of man versus fear of God.
Mm.
And godly, seasoned people who are filled with wisdom. They have a sense of tune with the Lord. They know God's word. They know me, my conviction, and the context, and they are able to speak truth. And I'm thankful for those because, like I was preaching this morning, we live in an age of information, but we do not certainly live in an age of wisdom. And I need people who are wise in my life, not just know a whole lot of useless knowledge, but who are tuned with the Lord, tuned with God, and they have a pulse on that. So often I turn the more I'm in ministry, and I lean on those who are with the Lord because I want to walk with them and walk in the way of wisdom. Mm,
that's good. It's a good word. So we're looking for different markers to trust God and to know that he is active. I wonder if there's any other markers for someone who's sitting here listening and thinking about big changes in their life. One that I would definitely point out is trust the scriptures. You know, there's many times, I don't know if I've shared this before, but there's many times where I'll be reading the Bible and God will pop something and I'm just like, that's a spirit moment. You know, there's Bible roulette for one, mm-hmm. and I don't generally tell people they should play Bible roulette. That's whenever you open up your Bible and wherever it lands is you know, what you get, where you stop and what you get excited about and what you read. But I do remember I did play Bible roulette one time, and this is a true story. I was a waiter at a restaurant, and I just felt like I was not giving my time to God like I should. Instead, I was sitting there at these tables and being a server, and I was spending all my time trying to make a dollar and just feeling like I had to do that and put the weight of my financial ability on my shoulders. And I said, God, I need a word from you. I just need a word. I opened up my Bible. Do you know where I went to? I landed in Acts 6. And in Acts 6, it talks about the first deacons. But It's really interesting. Here's what it says. It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. And God gave me that whenever I was struggling over serving tables and preaching the word of God.
Mm.
And what God was showing me even in that, and I know, hey, if you're listening right now and you're like, Brandon, you're doing some eisegesis stuff with this. Listen, the Spirit was in this moment for me. God was showing me I needed to trust him more. And if I would just trust him more, he would take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you can seek the scriptures also talking to God about what your next steps are. But no matter what, I think it comes down to, are you going to listen mm-hmm. or not? And that's submission to the Lordship of God.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about, as you're sharing about serving the table.
And yeah.
Certainly the scriptures are guide. God has revealed himself through his word. Mm-hmm. But also, there's a saying, I don't know who said it, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not keep you.
Right.
So God is not going to tempt us to sin. No, mm-hmm. God tests us. Satan only tempts us. So we want to measure it with scripture. But I think of a life of the Protestant missionary. He was he has a title, the father of all, William Carey. Mm. You know how it goes. It says, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Mm. And so often I see the latter part, that we don't attempt great things for God. This is where God has made it clear for us, such as the great commandment, the great commission, that we are to live a life boldly, courageously for King Jesus. And that's where I think of even Joshua chapter 1. He says, have I not commanded you? Mm. Be strong and courageous. People are living in fear. And I realize for me that church planting, I was making a decision out of fear. Fear of how financially it's not going to work. Fear of where would the people go. Fear of... One thing I've learned in 14 years is, in life and leadership, it's really not good to make a decision based on fear.
Mm.
No, and it's interesting. It's that the scripture says, not have you forgotten, but he says, have I not commanded? Which means courage is a command from the Lord. Fear is anti-courage. And we don't attempt it because we're fearful, because we're not trusting God, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And there was God used this person in my life to insert in courage, gave me courage, and affirmed through their life and their testimony, and seeing how God worked through it. And I was like, it makes sense, to the point, I can't quote a scripture and verse, so please don't call me a heretic, but I sense that if I don't plant, I'll be sinning before the Lord.
Mm.
It was a crystal clear calling that God laid this burning passion, which Sola Church, the church plant, we exist to know Christ and to make Christ known.
Mm.
That is what is based. We exist for that reason alone, because out of that conviction, out of that calling, and that was not only affirmed in my life, my wife's life, but also other people affirming that.
So that's one of our markers too, calling. And recognizing that calling in your life. Is God calling you to do something? Because if you're not doing what God has called you to do, then you're not doing what God has asked you to do. And you don't want to be in that place.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be Jonah. You don't want to be running away from God. Because in Jonah's a story of mercy. God doesn't always course correct you back to where you should be.
Mm.
But you want to be in the right path. I want to bring up something else you said there, because I hadn't thought about this. The impact of emotion in our spiritual decisions. And I had a pastor, I know this is a common saying, I heard it from this pastor, so I'm just going to say, you know, he always says that emotions make a great caboose, but a poor engine.
Mm.
Right? Our actions should be fueled with thought and reason and discernment. Emotions push it from the back. Mm. But a lot of people have that flipped around. And so they're making spiritual decisions based on their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Why can that be very detrimental?
Mm. Yeah, it's often where I run into counseling cases, where I often say emotions are a great indicator, but ought not to be a dictator.
Yeah.
So emotions become the engine of the train.
Mm-hmm.
So emotions follow with their actions, and action follows along with their mind. And what I mean by that is, well, I feel like this is what God is telling me to do. I feel I want to follow my heart because this is just my gut feeling. and they follow with their action and realizing it wasn't God's will, later on come with a lot of guilt, shame, and destructive behavior. No, we should have it the other way around. Or often I say, your cognition, reasoning, should follow your affection, which is your emotion, and along that transforms, or volition, which is our life, mm-hmm. or course of life. So again, so often, because we are emotional creatures, we let our hearts direct, and that's not a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good place to be.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, as men, we tend to not think of ourselves as emotional, but we are still very emotional.
Mm.
You know, we're led by our pride and our arrogance. We're led by our desire not to fail. We're led by our belief that there's some sort of providence built upon how hard we can work.
Mm.
And that's just not, you know, God's already done the work. And so emotions, you know, I have a saying, give it a couple of days. You know, whenever you have an important decision and you're feeling very strongly, maybe in a negative manner, sleep on it a couple of days. If it's a big decision, it's worth a couple of days. And you may find that your emotions completely change.
Yeah. I mean, Proverbs chapter 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge,
yeah.
Wisdom. Fools despise instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So even there, that if we want to have wisdom, if you want to grow, which again, this is knowing God's counsel, knowing God's will, we need a whole lot of wisdom.
Right.
But so often we don't have wisdom because we don't have fear of the Lord. And we let fear control making decision. And that's where, and I get it, like as a husband, maybe as a father, as a spiritual leader of the home, certain decision that we need to make, but that's where God is saying, hey, I need you to look at me. I need you to take these people to the next stage. And Joshua, as a young leader, taking the baton from Moses, it must have been very fearful for him. Would they trust me? Would they lean on me? Is this the right direction? He needed God's counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And God spoke to him, be strong and courageous. Have you forgotten that I'm with you, I'm not forsaking you? And that's the reason, even as men, like you said, we are to, a lot of times when people are fighting, like I will ask a counseling question and they ask, well, how's your relationship going? Not just at your work, there's a lot of stress there, but with your wife at home, how is all that? Well, my relationship with wife is fine. How is your relationship? Mine is fine. Well, you kind of answer, but not really. So mm-hmm. a lot of times, fear reveals what is deep down there that's controlling our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That could be hurt, that could be pain, that could be past lives of failure. And that's something that we need to work through as we understand, again, head, heart, and hands.
Mm.
That's all connected as we follow God's counsel and trusting Him.
Well, we alluded to this earlier, but I would like to get to this spot to end this out. It's just submitting to the Lordship of God. I know you and I stand as testaments to following God's will, even though when we didn't understand it, and now being able to look back and go, wow, God's amazing.
Mm.
I'm so glad, you know, I'm so glad I adopted all my sons. I'm so glad I moved to a state that I didn't know anything about. I'm so glad I went through very difficult times and traumatic moments that have made me the person and the pastor that I am. So just like submitting to the Lordship of God and the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people, often when I speak at youth conference or speak to young adults events, often the question, I was at a state school and I was speaking at a BSU gathering, Baptist Student Union. And the question that was often asked was, how do you know someone is the person? And that's a...
like the person to marry?
To marry, yeah.
The person.
Yeah. How did you know? And there were many people, pastors who were in the room answered. But one of the verse that comes to my mind was Psalm 119:105. It says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, which means that God doesn't always necessarily reveals 10 years from now where you're going to be and what. But I do sense, like a lamp, what a lamp does is shows your next step. And when you're faithful and trusting Him and leaning on this day and taking the right steps of yes, God will eventually lead you in the right path, which is the wisdom that we need today. So as you were sharing, it made me think of, like, I'm thankful for my wife and I that we've been married 10 years now, and how God has blessed us with four little children. Never thought where I'd be where I'm at today, but God has kept us together. And based on that, like, not what I feel, we're talking about emotion. It's not good to interpret God based on my emotion.
Right.
Because my emotion goes all over the place. I need to interpret God based on His word. Mm-hmm. That's the reason we could say, but when I turn to You, now I have hope. I'm no longer hopeless. God, You are in control. And again, I didn't understand it all, but God, because You live, I can face tomorrow, as the hymn says, or even face today. So again, that's a very pastoral answer to give to questions of who should I marry, what is going to be my job, and so forth. God is calling us for faithfulness this day, and hope is not found in the absence of hardship, actually, but hope is found in the fact that God gives you and I a tomorrow in this day as a gift. And that I've seen it again and again and again. I need to remind myself of that in the moments of hardship.
That's good. Well, I think that's a good spot to stop, actually.
Yep.
Yeah. We hope that you've enjoyed the show today. It's good to be back and get some recording for you so that you can listen and enjoy along. If you like Ordinary Radicals, why don't you give us 5 stars, thumbs up, heart stars, horseshoes, clovers and blue moons, whatever the good is. Give us those things and catch the next one as well. What do you want to say on the way out, sir?
That's great. Thank you for that word. Again, as I often end, ciao.
Ciao. Makes me hungry, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's lunch.
Let's go.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.